There are many who are actively trying to make it out that Jesus is just a man. You have Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code, which argues not only was he a man and did not die and was raised from the dead, but in fact made a family with Mary Magdalene, and that his descendants are with us now. And I wonder why. Why is there so much effort to make it seem as if Jesus was just a man? And I think I know the reason, because if Jesus is just a man, there's no threat. If he's just a man, you can take what he says and you can accept it if it makes sense to you, but you can discard it if it doesn't. You can like the fact that he spent time with sinners and tax collectors, and you can dismiss the fact that he called us to a higher moral standing. If he's just a man, he's just like Confucius. If he's just a man, he's just like Plato. It doesn't matter. There is no threat. There is no demand. Just a man. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we stand before you, and Lord, we know, we are confident that your Son Jesus is not just a man. We confess and believe that he is the Son of God, God incarnate. That he now sits at your right hand. That he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Thank you, Almighty God. This changes everything. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you be lifted up. May your word shine through. May your glory be our goal. Thank you, Almighty God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 19 verses 1 through 5. John chapter 19 verses 1 through 5. Jesus is being tried by Pilate. John leaves out a lot of the interaction. He doesn't talk about the trial before the high priest. He doesn't talk about the trial before Herod. He focuses in on this trial. And in that, there is a lot of irony. Verse 1. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps in the face. The big question here is, why does Pilate scourge him? If you read Matthew and Mark, it makes it sound like that was part of just when you convicted of somebody being put to death by the cross, you also scourged them. And that, by the way, was true. But John and Luke suggest a different reason. There was something that Pilate was trying to do with this. But before we get there, let's talk about what happened. There were three ways that the Roman government could punish you by scourging, by the word that's used, scourging. One of them was beaten by rods. Not what happened here. The other two are very close to the same idea. One was just as a punishment, and the other one was in conjunction with being put on the cross. They're pretty much the same idea. You would take a whip with leather thongs and shards of metal or bone, something that's going to dig into your back. You'd have one soldier or two who would whip you until they grew too tired to continue. Okay, so we need to think about this. This is what happened to Jesus. I remember people asking, why was the Passion of Christ so bloody? I mean, when you read the Bible, it's not. That's because the people who read the Bible knew. The authors did not have to say, "Oh, and by the way, the scourging was really bad." They knew. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian who also happened to work for the Romans, and therefore was able to inflict this punishment, he said that two men who he punished in this way, they were whipped until their entrails were showing. Some people did not survive this. It was a horrible punishment. And then they take a crown of thorns, and I would like to suggest that the normal picture we get with that is probably not accurate. We get a picture of branches that are twisted and made into a crown. But the wording makes it suggest that that was something different. You see, in Palestine, they had these thorns on this tree that were 12 inches long. And they would break those off, most likely, and weave those into a crown. So picture a Native American headdress, but instead of feathers, thorns. And they jammed that into his head. Now this was not, by the way, punishment. In their minds, this was mocking. It was common for the Roman soldiers, if somebody was accused of trying to make themselves out to be a king, they would play a game with them called the game of the king. And they would dress them up and they would make fun of them, and that's what they're doing, because Jesus is being charged as the king of the Jews. And so they put this crown of thorns on his head. They put a purple robe. It was probably a tattered, filthy robe. They probably had him sit in a chair and they would bow down to him and they would say, "Hail, King of the Jews." Interestingly enough, when they greeted Caesar, they would say, "Hail, Caesar," and then kiss his ring or kiss his feet. Here, they hit him. Some of the other gospel accounts tell us that they also spit on him. So they are mocking him. This is what our Lord went through. I think the power of the passion of the Christ was for us to see the visceral story of the cross.
That's right. Very difficult.
We need to understand that our Lord and Savior endured this so that you and I could be in a relationship with God.
Amen.
Verse 4. Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." And here I think we're given the clue of what Pilate had in mind. So he comes out again and he says, "I'm going to bring him out so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." What? You had him beat? If this is just preparation for the crucifixion, that would not show that he's innocent. Here's what I think Pilate is doing. He tried to offer them a way out. He said, "I'll let you pick somebody to set free. Would you pick the King of the Jews?" And they said, "No, set Barabbas free." Barabbas, who, by the way, was a true threat to Rome. And Israel, for that matter. They said, "No, we want Barabbas to be set free." And so now Pilate is still trying to get Jesus released. And can we see the irony of this? The pagan ruler who said what is truth and turns his back on truth is working harder to get Jesus released than the religious leaders. His goal is to show them that he's just a pathetic man. He's not a threat to Rome. Look what Rome can do to him.
That's right.
He's just a man. He's not a threat. And ironically, the Israelites knew that he was a threat. They just didn't want to accept what kind of threat he was. They wanted him dead because they thought that would kill the threat. Well, they were wrong. But I want to focus in on this idea of trying to portray Jesus as just a man. Because it happens. There is a movement today that's called the Historical Jesus Movement, and every year they will produce things on TV that will portray Jesus as just a man. And they'll work hard at it. I've told you this before, but it just boggles my mind. One year, at Easter, they had this guy on one of these shows, and it was produced by the historical movement, Historical Jesus Movement. They had this guy who was a doctor from someplace like Harvard or Yale. I mean, that sounds good, right? And he said, well, Luke, when he talks about the body being put in the tomb, Luke used a word that was probably from the original source, and he didn't mean to say this word because it never means a dead body. He used the Greek word soma. And soma always refers to a living body. I figured I knew that wasn't correct, but I had to go look. So I looked it up in Bauer, Artin, Gingrich, and Danker, which is the accepted source of Greek words. And the first line is that the word soma is used by Homer to refer to corpses. Now, my guess is that this guy with a doctorate from Yale or Harvard or wherever didn't just miss that line. He's flat out lying. And he can do that because most people will go, well, this guy has a doctorate. He must know what he's talking about.
That's right, yeah.
And why would he do that? Because if Jesus claims to be who he claims to be, that changes everything. If he is the Son of God, if he is the I Am wrapped in flesh, then there is a call to you and I. There is a call to change our life. There is a call to follow. There is a call to be like him. But if he's just a man, I don't have to listen to the call.
That's right.
I can ignore it just like I ignore men all the time. Like I probably should have ignored my cousin when I was growing up. Hey, let's jump off this bridge. All right. I won't go into all the other things. But you know, if it's just a man, you can ignore them. You don't have to follow. And often shouldn't. I love what C.S. Lewis said. We tend to think that our times are different. C.S. Lewis lived and wrote during the German conflict, 1940s. And he lived in England. And interestingly enough, in England, there was a movement to say that Jesus was just a good teacher. Things have not changed, have they? So C.S. Lewis said, I'm sorry, you can't have that. Jesus cannot be a good teacher. If he's a good teacher, if he's just a teacher, let's say he's a teacher, and he's not the Son of God, he's lying to you. Because he claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be God in the flesh. Now, the historical Jesus movement people, they will tell you that that was all made up by Christians later. That they threw all that stuff in. And if you dig that all away and put it aside, you're going to find the historical Jesus, who is just the man. And C.S. Lewis said, so the earliest accounts that we have is Jesus claiming that he is God. And if that's what Jesus said, he's not a good teacher. If it's not true, by the way. Because he's lying or he's crazy. He really thinks he has a Jesus complex, the first one. Right? He cannot be just a good teacher. He's not just a man. And praise God, he's not just a man. We gathered around the table this morning to celebrate because he's not just a man. We come here to sing praises to God because He's not just a man. We get excited and our whole life is different because He's not just a man.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Our whole life is dedicated to serving our God because Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
And when He went to that cross and He went to the grave and He was resurrected, He was not just a man going through all of that.
That's right.
He was God wrapped in the flesh so that you and I could have a life that is more abundant.
Amen.
Yeah. He's not just a man.
That's right.
During the Lord's Supper, Kathleen kept wanting to say, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Okay, maybe that's not, I mean, that really doesn't have anything to do with God or anything, but by the way, He's not just a man.
Yeah.
That ought to just fill us with such excitement. If He's just a man, the whole cross means nothing.
That's right.
That's right.
If He's just a man, then I don't care if He was a historical figure. So is Hitler. Big deal. If he's not the Son of God, then none of this makes any difference because the Romans did this to all kinds of people.
That's right.
That's why the gospel readers didn't have to explain it. That's why they didn't have to say, oh, and by the way, it was a bloody mess. His whole back was ripped off. They didn't have to say that. Everybody knew it because the Romans did it all the time.
Yeah.
And if it's just a man, then it's just another story of another person that's being punished by Rome. So I denounce the idea that he was revived in the coolness of the tomb and began a life with Mary Magdalene.
That's right.
We are here today to gather around the table of our Lord because Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
And when they tore His flesh off, that was God coming to our life and feeling the extreme pain that we would feel. And when they nailed Him to the cross, and we're going to get there, but when they nailed Him to the cross, that was Jesus, God, wrapped in the flesh, hanging, nailed to the cross. And when He arose, He wasn't revived from the coolness of the tomb. You don't revive in the coolness of the tomb from this kind of punishment.
No.
Man, we're in the flesh. They poked 3 holes in my shoulder. It took weeks to revive from that. He is the Son of God that died a physical death and the physical torture so that you and I could stand clean before our God.
Amen.
So if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. What a celebration Jesus is. Because He's not just a man. So, if you need prayer this morning, we're not going to take those prayers through the agency of just a man. We're going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody who knows exactly what you're going through.